Now, let's talk politics. Going to get the thoughts of American journalist Steve Clemens. He is editor-at-large of The Atlantic, a storied American magazine, 150 years old, and its modern-day equivalent, QZ.com, or Quartz, which is a web version of Atlantic in very, very simple terms. I caught up with him over the weekend because he was here for the Aspen Abu Dhabi Ideas Forum, and I wanted to talk to him about a couple of things, partly the future of the media in the digital era, and he gets to that in a second, but he begins with Trump. And this was my question. He, Steve Clemens, is a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat. He was on the staff of Democratic Senator Jeff Bingaman for a while, so he's been inside the Democratic machine. His colours are very much blue. They are nailed to that mast. And I asked him, so given that background, can you see anything in the first 100 days or so since Donald Trump was elected president that's positive? And he surprised me by saying yes.
No, I think there are potentially a lot of positives in the sense that I think many of the international structures we were involved with, many of the investments the United States has made in various ways of doing things, everything is being shaken up. So it's forcing pro and con groups to really negotiate over what matters. And I think there's a lot of dead wood out there. I would even say that about the NATO relationships. I would say that about some of the things going on in Asia, that it's making people to kind of rejigger, reorient what matters and what doesn't. It doesn't mean that I think that I agree with Donald Trump in placing doubt in every ally we have there about the solvency of the American partnership. But there's nothing wrong with shaking up things, and I think that's happening both on the domestic and international front, and I think that's a strong positive. I think the other thing that's happening is there was a snob in both the Republican and Democratic parties. Both of them had completely disconnected themselves from people in, I guess, the heartland of the country. In fact, many relatives of my own. And I think they felt looked down on. And I think this has been a wake-up call that will be balancing so that whatever comes after Trump, I think, may be more healthy, more holistic. I don't know if we're going to get through this, but down the road, I see more opportunities than I see necessarily right now. But this is a wake-up call to the elitism in both parties that they have to reorient their direction.
You've spent time within the Democratic world. Where does it go from here? What does it do next? Is it about finding a different candidate to Hillary, or is it deeper than that?
I think it's deeper than that. I think they have to find a purpose and mission that is more than just redistributing resources. I think they also have to find a purpose and mission for what it means to be a proud American today that can exist in a global setting and sense. It doesn't mean that there aren't people like that in the party that can do that, but I think that Hillary Clinton seemed to be the queen of conventional ways of doing things, returning to her castle that she used to run with her husband to most voters, to many voters, whether even those who supported her. And I think Trump looked like a wrecking ball who was going to destroy all those relationships. And I don't think that was an unfair assessment by the American public. So the question is, are we going to find someone that is less reverential in protecting of the status quo, like Hillary Clinton, and someone who's maybe less reckless and disruptive in a negative sense than Donald Trump? And if we have that in both the Republican and Democratic Party, or a third party down the road, then we will have achieved something important in American politics.
Very quickly, let's talk about the media. When I think about The Atlantic, I think of one of the sort of bastions of old media, the media I grew up with. And yet we look at Quartz, QZ.com, which is your online version, which is a bastion of new media. And you straddle both worlds, don't you? How does that work out?
Well, it's great. I think that The Atlantic is an amazing, just an amazing publication because it was founded in 1857. But our internal ethic is that we're the country's longest media startup, and we continue to kind of tear apart what we do and reinvent it. And when you think about 9 years ago, we had about 300,000 unique readers on a month, and now we have 32 million unique readers a month. We were one of the first to make a major investment in a complete digital transition. Quartz we gave birth to and grew, and that's been growing like a weed, and was a great opportunity that has just taken us and doing things in the funkiest, coolest, hippest new ways. But I would say The Atlantic also is bringing in a lot of that new, young, hip method of reaching people, diversifying its channels, but also doing high quality sculpted and edited journalism in what it does. So I think that much like, you know, when you ask about media in general, what's going to happen. When I came in, I started a political blog basically about 13 years ago, 14 years ago, And my goal was to rip the throat out of sloppy, lazy, homogenized national journalism. As the Washington Post, New York Times, they were all the same, and I had no patience for them whatsoever, you know, these revered institutions. And I think blogs in their day gave traditional media a run for their money. Now they're kind of got all bought up by traditional media, and there's been kind of a hybrid. But I think media is going to continue to evolve. New media is going to come in and challenge the incumbents. You know, Quartz will be an incumbent in a couple of years, not a startup. And The Atlantic will continue to be an incumbent, a flagship enterprise for a long time. But it's got to figure out how to continue to evolve and change with the continuing changing terrain in media, or it will be dead. I mean, that's the point. You either continue to evolve and innovate, or you're dead in this environment.
Last question. Advice to students here at NYU Abu Dhabi, maybe thinking about a career in what you and I would perhaps know as journalism. What advice could you give them as a veteran of this industry now?
I think, you know, think about content and high quality, smart content that they're curious about and that they can help share with others across lots of platforms. So a lot of people want to go to journalism and, you know, long form or written journalism, but there's video journalism, there's lots of other encounters, you know, and ways to sort of, you know, I'm editor-in-chief of an event division, which is essentially, I call 3D journalism. And I think there's lots of ways to look at, you know, delivering very smart content that helps broaden storytelling and help broaden the conversations we all need to have. They need to think about, I think it's fun when young people can think about how those platforms play, but doing responsible, accountable, smart journalism in new forms is what I think they should try to emulate.